Pacing now near the corner of the choir screen, he took a deep breath and glanced up the long nave toward the main altar in the distance. His gaze dropped from the gilded altar down to the bright crimson robe of an abbey docent who was being waved over by two very familiar individuals, Langdon and Neveux. Calmly, the teacher moved two steps back behind the choir screen. That was fast. Reaching down to his pocket, he touched a reassuring object right next to the black cryptex, the Medusa revolver. As expected, the Abbey's metal detectors had blared as the teacher passed through with the concealed gun. Also as expected, the guards had backed off at once when the teacher glared indignantly and flashed his card. Official rank always commanded the proper respect. Although initially the teacher had hoped to solve the cryptex alone and avoid any further complications, he now sensed the arrival of Langdon and Neveux was actually a welcome development. After all, if Langdon had deciphered the poem to find the tomb, there was a reasonable chance he also knew something about the orb. And if Langdon knew the password, then it was just a matter of applying the right pressure. Not here, of course. Somewhere private. The teacher recalled a small announcement sign he had seen on his way into the abbey. Immediately, he knew the perfect place to lure them. The only question now, what to use as bait. Langdon and Sophie moved slowly down the north aisle. Despite having traveled more than halfway down the nave, they still had no clear view of Newton's tomb. The sarcophagus was recessed in a niche, obscured from this oblique angle.
At least there's nobody over there, Sophie whispered.
Langdon nodded, relieved. The entire section of the nave near Newton's tomb was deserted. Crossing the massive nave on a diagonal, Langdon and Sophie remained silent as the elaborate sepulchre revealed itself in tantalizing increments. A black marble sarcophagus, a reclining statue of Newton, two winged boys, a huge pyramid, and an enormous orb.
Did you know about that?
Sophie said, sounding startled. Langdon shook his head, also surprised.
Those look like constellations carved on it, Sophie said.
As they approached the niche, Langdon felt a slow, sinking sensation. Newton's tomb was covered with orbs, stars, comets, planets. You seek the orb that ought be on his tomb. It could turn out to be like trying to find a missing blade of grass on a golf course. Sophie moved directly to the sarcophagus and read aloud the titles of the books on which Newton was leaning.
Ring any bells?
Langdon stepped closer, considering it. Principia Mathematica has something to do with the gravitational pull of planets, which admittedly are orbs, but it seems a little far-fetched.
How about the signs of the zodiac?
Sophie asked, pointing to the constellations on the orb.
You were talking about Pisces and Aquarius earlier, weren't you?
The end of days, Langdon thought. But Langdon's intuition told him astronomy was not the key. Thus far, Jacques Saunier had proven himself a meticulous code writer, and Langdon had to believe that his final password, those five letters that unlocked the priory's ultimate secret, would prove to be not only symbolically fitting, but also crystal clear. If this solution were anything like the others, it would be painfully obvious once it dawned.
Look, someone was here,
Sophie gasped, pointing to a spot on the sarcophagus near Newton's outstretched right foot. Langdon did not understand her concern. A careless tourist had left a charcoal grave rubbing pencil on the sarcophagus lid near Newton's foot. Langdon reached out to pick it up, but as he leaned toward the sarcophagus, the light shifted on the polished black marble slab, and Langdon froze. Suddenly, he saw why Sophie was afraid. Scrawled on the sarcophagus lid at Newton's feet shimmered a barely visible charcoal pencil message. I have Teabing. Go through chapter house, out south exit, to public garden. Despite the pall of trepidation that settled over him upon seeing the words, Langdon told himself this was good news. Lee is still alive. There was another implication here, too. They don't know the password either, he whispered. Sophie nodded.
Otherwise, why make their presence known? They may want to trade Lee for the password.
Gazing back at the orb-filled tomb, Langdon wished he had some idea about the cryptex password, something with which to negotiate.
The note says to go through the chapter house to the south exit, Sophie said. Maybe from the exit we would have a view of the garden? That way we could assess the situation before we walked out there and exposed ourselves to any danger.
The idea was a good one. Langdon vaguely recalled the chapter house as a huge octagonal hall. It had been years since he had been there, but he remembered it as being out through the cloister somewhere. Taking several steps back from the tomb, Langdon peered around the choir screen to his right, across the nave. A gaping vaulted passageway stood nearby, with a large sign. This way to Cloister, Deanery, College Hall, Museum, Pick's Chamber, St. Faith's Chapel, Chapter House. Langdon and Sophie were jogging as they passed beneath the sign, moving too quickly to notice the small announcement that had also been posted at the Abbey entrance, apologizing that certain areas were closed for renovations. They emerged immediately in the Abbey's main cloister, a high-walled, open-roof courtyard. Then they entered the narrow, low-hanging walkways, also called cloisters, that bordered the courtyard perimeter. They followed the signs for the chapter house. 40 yards down the east cloister, an archway materialized on their left, giving way to another hallway. Although this was the entrance they were looking for, the opening was cordoned off by an official-looking sign. Closed for renovation. Pick's Chamber, St. Faith's Chapel, Chapter House. The entrance to the chapter house was at the far end of the long hallway. Even from here, Langdon could see that its heavy wooden door was wide open, and the spacious octagonal interior was bathed in a grayish natural light from the room's many enormous windows that looked out on College Garden. Go through the chapter house, out the south exit to the public garden. We just left the east cloister, Langdon said, so the south exit to the garden must be through the chapter house and to the right. They hurried down the dark corridor.
It looks huge, Sophie whispered as they approached.
Langdon had forgotten just how large this room was. Even from outside, approaching the entrance, Langdon could gaze across the vast expanse of floor to the breathtaking windows on the far side of the octagon, which rose 5 stories to a vaulted ceiling. Crossing the threshold, both Langdon and Sophie found themselves having to squint. After the gloomy cloisters, the chapter house felt like a solarium. They were a good 10 feet into the room, searching the south wall, when they realized the door they had been promised was not there. They were standing in an enormous dead end. The creaking of a heavy door behind them made them turn, just as the door closed with a resounding thud and the latch fell into place. The lone man who had been standing behind the door looked calm as he aimed a small revolver at them. He was portly and was propped on a pair of aluminum polio braces. It was Lee Teabing.